Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories that tell us something are true. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on June 22nd, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana. Nine storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Bad Advice. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Brock Knows and is titled Big Kids Hill. Thanks for listening.
When I was in high school, one of my best friends was Dean, and he's the guy that got me interested in drums and percussion. We made quite the pair. At the time, as a sophomore in high school, I was already 6'2". I already wore size 15 shoes, which my father hated because they were expensive. And my buddy Dean was 6'3", pushing 260. We were quite the motley pair. And we got this idea in February that we wanted to hitchhike from Corvallis, Oregon to Hoodoo Ski Resort up on US Route 20 at the top of San Ian Pass. At the time, it was just this dinky little ski resort. As 15-year-olds, 14, 15-year-olds, we were going to hitchhike up there. My mother said, hell no. But she never swore, so she didn't say hell. And we said, all right, fine. We gave up on the idea. My mother, unbeknownst to us, decided to ask our friends, Dennis and Linda, who had four little girls, ranging from about 10 months to about 7 years old. And they loved myself and Dean. So she got this idea to ask them if they were going up to the mountain that day. Of course they were, and they'd be happy to take us with them. So my mom told me and Dean that, and we said, "Nah, we decided we don't want to go anymore." And she said, "Hell no, you are going. I got you this ride. They're happy. The girls can't wait to go sledding with you." Yes, mother. So, on a Sunday, early in the morning, Dean and I are at my house waiting for Dennis and Linda and the four kids. Of course, we're trying to be grumpy teenagers. And with four little kids, you can't be grumpy for very long, fact. 2 hours in the car, we were singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat along with everybody else. We got up to the ski area, and for those of you familiar with this area, there's a little winter access point. We got up there, it was a beautiful day. Sun shining, few clouds, there was nobody there. Dean and I thought, great. We're going to go, we're going to take our tubes, we're going to find a big kid hill. No. We spent almost all day towing the kids on their sleds, getting more and more annoyed with my mother with every pass of a sled. Up the hill, which was this long, down the hill. Up the hill, down the hill. Finally, Dean and I said, all right, we got to get our tubes and we have to go find a hill. So we told Dennis and Linda, we said, we've got to go find a hill. We got to go do a real sled. And they said, okay, great, go for it. So of course, we start walking off and all four girls, we want to go, we want to go. And both of us immediately just turned around and went back to the van. And Dennis and Linda said, no, no, you have to let the big boys go do big boy things. Finally, yes. So we walked off. We went down the road, went one direction first, Didn't find anything, too many trees. Went another direction. We were walking down the road, came to a corner, and we saw the hill. It was perfect. It was so steep, we both knew my parents and his dad would say, "Hell no, you're not going down that hill." But it was perfect because it had a nice slope. The runout was right onto the road. We had all sorts of space. If we got enough speed, we could go for a mile, we thought. Great idea. So we hiked up the hill. We both got up there and looked down and looked at each other and said, "Damn, this is really steep. Should we do this?" Yeah, let's do it. "You're gonna go first?" "No, I'm not going first." I went first. Picked a spot, thought, okay, if I launch from here, I'm gonna be good. Go straight down the road, it'll be awesome. Go so fast. I launched off, bounced a couple times as I was going down. Didn't go quite the direction I wanted to, but I was sure it was possible. Dean, as I'm hiking back up the hill, Dean decides to launch before I could give him any advice. 260-pound 15-year-old. Screams down this hill. He was going so fast. Hit the bottom of it. I'm hiking up the hill, and I didn't see. I turned around, and he was stopped, sitting in the snow, kind of shaking his head. I wasn't sure exactly what happened. And so he starts hiking back up the hill. So I get ready to launch, and he yells at me, "Hey, Brock, don't launch from there. Move over like 6 feet. I almost hit this rock." I didn't really hear that part. But I moved over 6 feet. Launched off. You know when you hit a tube when you're launching down a slope, you kind of have that bounce. So I hit the tube. I had a bounce. I was like, all right, I'm going the right direction. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to hit the road. Got about halfway down the slope. Hit another bounce, little bump. Still feeling okay about it. And I hit the bottom of that slope, the transition onto the road, and I knew I wasn't going the right direction. I stopped. From there on, I only have little snippets of memory. So I'm going to share with you just the parts that I remember. I remember waking up on my back in the middle of the road, looking up at strangers and listening to them talk, trying to breathe, trying to get up. I couldn't get up. I couldn't breathe. I heard someone say, "Go get ski patrol." Soon, a truck pulls up. They put me in the truck. The next thing I remember is in the ski patrol hut at Hoodoo. And I hear a guy talk, and he says, "Ambulance is on the way." I think, okay, that's probably good. And I tell the guy, "Hey, can I have a glass of water? I'm really thirsty." And he says, "No, you can't have any water." I wondered why. Next thing I remember was in the ambulance. It's going quickly, but not fast. And I looked up at the guy and I said, "I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water?" The guy said, "No, you can't have any water." I said, "All right, well, I'm going to take a little nap." And he grabbed my shoulder and he said, "No, you're not." And I remember him reaching up and banging on the wall of the ambulance, on the front wall. And he told the driver, "Hit it, we're losing him." Next thing I remember was in the hospital. They bounced me around a lot. My parents weren't there. Dennis and Linda couldn't get a hold of them. So they decided they were going to try and get a hold of my aunt. While they're doing that, I'm back in the back of the hospital thinking, I need a nap. I want a glass of water. They put me in the tube, this tube. It just felt weird. And I didn't know what was going on. They told me that I had to have surgery, but they couldn't do surgery until my parents showed up. My aunt finally called. She was a nurse in Colorado at the time, and she said, I am giving you permission to do this surgery. Just as they put the mask on my face, my mom showed up. I have a brief memory of seeing her for about 5 seconds. And then I was out. I woke up, what I found out was 2 days later. They had given me a sedative after my surgery. I woke up to see my mother and a nurse. I was very groggy, and I said, Mom, what happened? And she said, well, I'm going to let the nurse talk first. So the nurse told me, you're going to be very sore. We had to cut you open. And I'm thinking, well, obviously you did something. You told me you were going to have to do surgery, so just come on, out with it. And she said, do you want to see your scar? I said, sure. She lifted up my shirt to show me an almost 8-inch scar from the middle of my sternum to my belly button, filled with 17 staples. I mean, construction staples. These things were huge. And I said, okay, so what happened? She told me that I had come down the hill and Dean had actually hit the rock pretty hard. But I didn't get that part. I hit the rock, 3.5 foot tall rock, 4 feet by 4 feet, dead center of my sternum. They found my glasses 15 feet in the forest, buried in the snow. And I said, okay, well, that explains why I couldn't breathe and why it really hurt. Then I asked her, well, the ski patrol wouldn't let me have a drink of water. I was really thirsty. Why not? And she said, well, because you were bleeding internally. And it's very bad to drink water when you're bleeding internally. News to me. I said, okay. So in the ambulance, they wouldn't let me take a nap. Why wouldn't they let me take a nap? And my mother started to cry. And she said, because you almost died, Brock. And I kind of took this in and thought, all right, well, but I didn't die. Here I am. Hurts like hell, but here I am. So then I said, all right, well, that's how I got here. I'm in a hospital. Where am I? She said, you're in Bend. This was the closest hospital. I said, okay, so what happened? Like, what? Tell me about the surgery. Turned out that when they did the MRI, CAT scan, whatever it was they did, they couldn't see anything. So they didn't know what was wrong. So they had to do a midline exploratory so they could see my entire abdomen. When they opened me up, I had 2.5 quarts of blood in my abdomen. I almost bled out. And my mother had been very nervous about it because she thought I was going to have a blood transfusion. I gave myself my own blood transfusion. They sucked 2.5 quarts of blood out of my abdomen, cleaned it, reoxygenated it, and gave it back to me. Ha, ha, ha. At this point, I am realizing how serious this situation was. And I said, well, Mom, what happened to Dean? And she started to cry again. And she said, honey, Dean's here, but he was really scared to come see you. And I said, well, why? And she cried some more, and she said, because he feels responsible, honey. And in my mind, I'm like, come on, bullshit, he's not responsible. And she said, he'd really like to see you. Is that okay? I said, of course. My best friend. Send him in. So she and the nurse walked out. About a minute later, my buddy, 6'3", 260-pound Dean, walks into my room. He sees me and immediately starts to shed crocodile tears. And he just stands there and looks at me and cries and shakes his head. And I put my hand out to him as he's walking to the other side of my bed, because all the monitor and everything was on this side, just tears streaming down his face. He pulled up a chair, sat down next to me, held my hand, put his head against my shoulder, and sobbed. And all he could say was, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Thank you.
Thanks, Brock. Brock Knows was born and grew up in Corvallis, Oregon. His home was centered around music. He started classical violin and piano lessons at the age of 5. By 8, he was singing and playing violin with his parents and 2 older sisters in performances at schools and churches around the Northwest. Playing in youth and community orchestras and symphonies from an early age gave him extensive stage performance experience. In high school, he added the viola to the lineup and was inspired by a friend to learn drums and percussion. After high school, he became interested in radio and through the years has worked or volunteered for Christian, Top 40, country, public, and college radio stations. After getting married in 1998, he and his wife moved to Missoula, and for the last 7 years, Brock Knows has worked for the Kettle House Brewing Company. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, and performance art. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients, dining made different. Performance schedules and menu at tophatlounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began once again to host live entertainment. Now it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. Event schedule at thewilma.com. CabinetParts.com, the number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. The Trail 1033, Missoula's quality rock, and part of our unique Western Montana community. Featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music, they share a new Montana adventure each week with The Trail Well Traveled. Stream online at trail1033.com or tune in to 103.3 when you're in Missoula. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. If you are interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at marc@tellussomething.org. That's mark@tellussomething.org. Podcast production by Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcast, and most especially to the storytellers Rachel Dierkin, Sean Hawkins, Angela Miller, Steve Gonzalez, Jeff Ducklow, Ethan Sky, Brock Knows, Melissa Lynn, and John Turk. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn more about themes for the 2016 season. hellasomething.org.